We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On Monday's show, we will break down whatever happens in the Bears-Cardinals game. At least we see the Bears being smart about who should be the number two quarterback, because Justin Fields was healthy enough to be the number two, then he should start, but he's neither. So it'll be Andy Dalton and Nick Foles versus the Arizona Cardinals, who might have Colt McCoy being the quarterback. Kyler Murray is a game-time decision. And with that, I bring to you the tag team champions all the world, Parkins and Spiegel. Hello, boys.
What's up, Lawrence? Man, no Justin Fields again.
And maybe no Roquan Smith either.
And no Akeem Hicks. And likely no Allen Robinson is doubtful.
Yep.
And Khalil Mack obviously out. The Bears are going to get destroyed.
Sounds like the recipe for an upset, Danny.
Yeah? Okay.
Hey, am I the only guy who thinks that Allen Robinson might find a way to shut this thing down and that the Bears might sort of be okay with it because of a small sense of guilt about the franchise tag and a sense of cooperation and collaboration? Am I the only guy who's entertained that thought at this point?
No, you're not, Spiegs. And it's funny because we've been talking about it this past week on what's happened to his value relative to the rest of the league. Mm-hmm. And are there enough games and will he get enough opportunities to have this like yardage explosion at the end of the season that might get him back to where he was? And I don't ordinarily feel like this, but if I'm him, I would for sure make the business decision.
Well, and there's a perception that when those things kind of happen around the league, that it's always like player against team and against organization. And I don't know that that's always the case. You know, because it's pretty obvious what the situation is to all the powers that be. So we'll see. It's something to watch. Something to watch.
Danny, if you were Allen Robinson, what would you do?
Well, I mean, if I'm healthy, I understand what you're saying, but he's already hurt his value, right? And I can't imagine the Bears giving him another franchise tag, which would be giving him a 20% raise on the money that they gave him this year, though they certainly could do that. And I feel like they could maybe even re-sign him. I don't think he wants to come back. But
I don't think he does either.
No, I don't. But my point is he's going to be cheaper this offseason than last offseason. So are you going to try to play your way in? And like to Speaks, what you said, the Bears like doing it amicably, man, I feel like they want everything possible out there for Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. If their North Star, their top priority is development of Justin Fields, whether it's for Matt Nagy to try to save his job, even if we think it's impossible, or just to do what's in the best interest of the young quarterback. And the last time we saw the two of those guys together, they actually looked good.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. But, I mean, from Allen Robinson,
the Bears would want him to play. Allen Robinson, okay. I could get why he wouldn't want to play.
Sure.
Because you don't want to take any unnecessary risks for a team that's not going anywhere.
Right. And from Allen and Brandon Parker's perspective, it's like, what does more damage to his value? Some bad, no more film at all in six games, or him blowing out a knee when a safety dives low as they're trying to make a playoff spot on some other team, you know? So yeah, no, I could understand it from his perspective, and we'll have to see. It's 3 weeks in a row of DNP for a hamstring that kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, see, that's one of those injuries where obviously like a full offseason you're going to be fine, but why risk it if it's better served to allow you to if the Bears were in a real playoff scenario, I imagine that he would figure out a way to get out there. But they're not. And they've done him wrong organizationally. So so what would be the incentive other than your own competitive drive to go out there?
Do you mean they did him wrong because they franchise tagged him?
I mean they've done him wrong because of all of this. Like going back to the season before when everyone was sure that they were going to extend him long term and they decided not to. And I mean that they've done him wrong by him being de-emphasized in this offense.
Well, that part is – I still don't get it. Like, I know what his people and his camp are putting out there. It doesn't make any sense why the Bears, who targeted him a ton with Nick Foles and targeted him a ton with Mitch Trubisky and targeted him a ton in the game and a quarter at the start of the year that we saw with Andy Dalton – all of a sudden decided to de-emphasize him.
Like, I don't know if it's actively like, let's screw Allen. I think it's more, well, you know, we're probably going to move on from Allen. We know what he is. Let's give these opportunities to Darnell Mooney. Because remember, isn't the one player that they talked about? Isn't that the one player that George brought up last year, Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, but I think that Allen not being available as a primary target for Justin Fields is on the pile of incompetence for Matt Nagy, offensive strategist.
I agree.
So I don't think it's intentional incompetence. It's just,
it's not negligence. It's incompetence.
Correct.
And I think that it's that Fields not having a rapport with Robinson for that six-game stretch or so, you know, before it seemed to have clicked the last time the two of them were out there, and then there's the bye and the hamstring injury. I want to see it. Like, just as an observer of the Bears and of Justin Fields, I think it is in our best interest to see Justin Fields with really talented football players around him, because I don't think it's going to save Matt Nagy's job. So I don't think we have to worry about that, but there's a really, really good chance that the Bears don't have a receiver anywhere near as good as Allen Robinson on the team next year. Like, Darnell Mooney is a really nice piece, and he's produced in the last couple of games.
I think he's a complimentary receiver.
I wonder if the production has been such that Allen will find a market that's just as good here. But I don't get the sense that he wants to stay. I can't imagine that he would want to stay.
So this has been the question that I've posed to Bears people this week, and I'll ask you two guys. What is it that you're looking for if you're him? Like, if you're going into this offseason, are you looking for cash or are you looking for an opportunity?
I think I'm looking to win.
Me too.
But that's so easy for us to say, right? And he's now been paid three times, right? Because he signed his second contract
pretty early with Jacksonville.
Early with Jacksonville, and then he signed the contract with the Bears, and then he got $18 million fully guaranteed from the Bears under the franchise tag, 18 point whatever it was. So he's had three big paydays plus the rookie contract plus whatever he's done on the side, and he's probably telling himself that he's got another couple years of his prime left. But so I think that he could probably do both. You know, like, it would be a pay cut, but he could sign a multi-year deal with, like, a fairly high guarantee and choose between 10 quarterbacks, all of whom would be by far the best quarterback he's ever played football with, including his time in college or high school. You know, like, so I don't think that his options are going to be limited, and I think that he's going to probably try to, like, to middle it, if that makes sense. Like, let me make a list of the top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL, have my agent, Brandon Parker, get the best offer from those 12 teams, and whoever's willing to pay me the most amount of money
of the good fits.
Of the good fits, that's where I'm going. Like, I don't think he's at the point where he needs to ring chase, but I do think he needs to quarterback chase, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's back on the market with Chris Godwin, right?
Who also... My guy Michael Gallup is intriguing to me.
That catch he made last night, goodness gracious.
With those feet. Every time I see him play, like including last year, like he's a guy. That team has an embarrassment of riches. And that was the word coming out of Dallas. They were like, oh, man, we were not planning to do this, but CeeDee Lamb fell to them.
Yeah, like only 17 catches on the year for Michael Gallup. How about your other
big
guy?
Big injury, though. Big injury.
Yes. How about your other guy who I have drafted every year in fantasy and always played on the week when he does not produce? Mike Williams in San Diego. That dude is a beast LA. Coming up as a free agent at age 27 with that body. And there are weeks you watch him and I'm like, why is he not a top five wide receiver in the NFL?
Well, he started out. Like his first 8 weeks or so this year were pretty great. And his story was awesome. He was super productive at Clemson, and then first game of the season caught a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone, like collided with the base of the goalpost and broke his neck. Missed the rest of the season and then came back the next year and played his way back into being an NFL pick. I like Mike Williams a lot. I think he will get paid a ton of money. Gallup to me is interesting because I think he's really, really, really talented, but he's just not quite as good as Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb.
So you'll probably get better value there. What about this guy at the top of the list? Yeah, Devontae Adams. Is he any good? This unrestricted free agent?
I don't know, man. He's got to prove it. You know, he's got to. Yeah. I think he's maybe a couple more years at this level of production. Then maybe we can say he's the best wide receiver in the league.
What do they got? Six games left. He has 80 catches and 1,083 yards.
He's so damn good.
Did you? I watched some YouTube video that was kind of going viral on the internet over the holidays.
Good place to go viral, by the way.
Well, yeah, sure. I feel like every time I turn on, everyone's like, I saw this on Twitter. So I just chose to, and I do it too. Like,
oh, nice. So you want to expand the palette a little bit, not just say Twitter, say, yeah, Snapchat. Man, I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah, because it was a YouTube link, but of course I saw it on Twitter. His first move off the line of scrimmage is the same on every route. He does this like three-step stutter step.
This chop.
Yeah, it's really like. But even if he's running a nine route, like even if he's running a a go, like he doesn't just like start sprinting and running. Like he does the same thing as if he was going to just stop at the line of scrimmage, turn and catch a pass or a slant or a curl or whatever. It was very impressive, and I think we've talked about this before, Lawrence. Like he gets open with his feet. You know, his footwork is the best. You know, maybe DeAndre Hopkins has better hands. Tyreek Hill's faster. You know, they're DK Metcalf's more physically imposing. But in terms of footwork, I don't think there's anyone better in the NFL than Devontae Adams.
Speaks, was it Gale Sayers that took a lot of time getting up on every play?
To make it seem like Jim Brown.
It's Jim Brown.
Jim Brown every time got up super slow and walked back to his spot super slow and then exploded. Yes.
Yeah, and the idea being that you don't want it to change from when you are hurt versus when you aren't. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I'm thinking with Devontae, where it's like you're going to see this footwork. You're not going to get a tell off of how I start my route. It could be a nine route. It could be a smoke route. But you're going to see the exact same thing on film every time. I'm not going to give it away in the second after the snap because you know what my footwork is. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it's like a 10-minute video. Like so, it is a large sampling of routes. And he's talking over them and explaining like what he's doing based on coverage, opponent, play call, like checks, like whether or not he has freelance, like an option routes, or if he's doing something like by design where he has to get to a spot. It was football nerdom.
This is sports, right? It's kind of like a pitcher's release point. And tunneling, make it look the same every time. It's kind of like
that's a good call.
It's kind of like a big man in the post backing his guy down, and Akeem would give you the same shimmy whether he was going to the left or the right. You know, that's the artistry and the genius of it. Is you keep everything the same until it has to be different.
Danny, was there any indication of where he learned that? Like, was there like ever like a soundbite in there where he was talking about it, or was it just the videos of the footwork itself?
No, it was him talking about like the route tree. And how it was not even like muscle memory, but it was like what worked for him, and he felt like it made him much tougher to guard because of what you were talking about. Like it didn't give away anything, right? Like if he was running a slant and he just immediately planted his outside foot, it would give away that someone would try to get like the inside leverage on him. And so, but I'll find the video and send it to you.
That's cool.
It felt like you were watching a master chef talking about it, right? Like someone at the absolute top of their craft.
It's really cool. It's really cool. And it makes me think about even tennis, like where like the guys at the very top and the women at the very top will have a kick serve that has a certain amount of spin and a flat serve that doesn't, and maybe a side spin serve. And the trick is getting their racket and the toss to look exactly the same each time. And then you change it up.
Yeah, it was very, very impressive. Another thing from last night's game that I wanted to run by you, because Sean Payton's always been, and Albert Breer even wrote about it, would Ryan Pace try to get Sean Payton from the Saints if he had a coaching opening? Would he be willing to trade a draft pick? You know, coaches have been traded before, right?
Should have had Nick Foles. They'd be so much better off with Nick effing Foles. They really would.
Isn't there an argument to be made that no coach has done less with more than Sean Payton?
Well, he's got... Jameis Winston had 14 touchdowns and 3 picks before he got here.
I don't mean this year. I mean his tenure as Saints head coach. Is there not an argument that having perhaps a top 10 all-time quarterback?
Oh, I don't think it's perhaps. Yeah, I mean he's this generation's Dan Marino, right? He's one of the best pure passers and accurate passers in the history of the league. Yeah.
And for a big portion, there were two teams in that division that weren't competing at all.
Yeah.
And there's still only one Super Bowl championship. And even this year, I have some issues with him continuing trying to make fetch happen. And you saw it last night. You had Taysom Hill out there with a splint on his throwing hand.
Yeah, and evidently torn ligaments is the news today.
Bad to begin with.
And if the best that you can do is Trevor Siemian so bad that you had to go with a guy who can't throw anyway, and now you're putting a splint on his throwing hand. If the quarterback whisperer had to go with Taysom Hill with a splint on his finger, I would say that you aren't doing the best job of coaching your team.
Okay, well, so you and I are a little bit more aligned than I feel like most people are on Sean Payton, like because that was you've undercut the question, not intentionally.
My bad.
No, you're good because you hear it, man. Like prevailing wisdom in the NFL is what you said: quarterback whisperer, top 5, certainly top 10 head coach.
I think he's one of the best play callers. Now, I'm not going to take that away from him. I think when it comes to play design and play calling, Sean Payton is high on the list.
But what do you do when offensive genius or just genius does something dumb? Like Taysom Hill is a great athlete. He is a special teamer. He is a backup quarterback. He's a gadget player. He's a wildcat option. You know,
it's a great 26th man on a baseball team. What, 53rd man on the on your NFL squad?
But he's kind of like your 51st, second, and third man.
Right,
like,
that's what
I'm saying. I believe that you do have extra roster flexibility. If you employ one Taysom Hill, you can employ an extra linebacker.
He's Michael Lorenzen.
Sure. Yeah. And so, like, I do think there's value there. And, like, people are like, oh, Mitch Trubisky could have become Taysom Hill. No. Like, Taysom Hill is closer to, like, Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley as an athlete than he is Mitch Trubisky. Like, you look at his measurables. The guy's got a 39-inch vertical leap, runs a 4.46, and is 6'2", 230. Like, he is a freak of an athlete.
Wouldn't you have preferred, if you were New Orleans, to have Mitch playing quarterback and Taysom Hill doing other stuff in last night's game?
Well, that's right. And so what do you, when someone who is thought of as a genius does something dumb, it makes me rethink whether or not you're a genius, because he's not a quarterback.
It was always collaborative, but they had entered the conversation.
How dare you say collaborative?
I know. You know, they can't
How
have
dare
it.
You?
I'm taking it back, man. I'm like the baseball players taking back the profile pictures. I'm reclaiming collaboration. They can't have it, man. They can't ruin that for us.
I don't know if I like
it,
that.
But it was always like, you know, they'd gotten into the conversation like Walsh and Montana or Belichick and Brady, right? So Peyton and Breeze had gotten into that conversation, and now we lean a little more towards the Breeze end of that than we do the Peyton end of that. So if that's where you're going, Danny, I feel you. But it's also just, man, he really is dug in. He's decided he wants to be right about that. And it is so obstinate and so pigheaded, and it is not going to happen. It just isn't. So the sooner you give up that ghost, the better. But he is pot committed on Taysom Hill, man.
But I was so glad the Bulls game was early.
Me
so
too.
So I could watch the, like, I mean, I had the Bulls game on the main screen with sound, and that was on the second TV, and then you could go full bore into the football. The second half of that football game was ridiculous. Just like turnover. Cowboys, for some reason, throwing the ball downfield when all they have to do
is
run
sit
the ball.
On the ball.
Yeah, like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, it doesn't matter. The Saints could have had 8 quarters, and the Cowboys could have stopped playing.
You know what happened in 8 quarters? Like 7 interceptions, something like
right.
that. Or maybe just 8 interceptions.
There was no way. Like, they broke one big one on a short completion and a long run and a busted play. Like, okay, fine. But in terms of, like, sustained drives, Taysom Hill had no chance.
Listen to this stat. This is funny. Taysom Hill is the first player in the history of the NFL to pass for 250 yards, rush for 100 yards, and throw 4 interceptions in a single game.
It's going to be a while for that one to be broken.
Well, I mean, Lamar felt like he was close on Sunday, though.
Yeah, that's true. It could have been Lamar. So maybe Lamar will be a guy who can get there. But it's like, you know, anybody else gets to 4 interceptions, they're not given the chance to reach 250 passing yards or 100 rushing yards.
That is usually the truth. Shout out to this texter, by the way, because they're right. I said Michael Lorenzen. They said Taysom Hill is their Leury Garcia. That's a good call by you. That actually makes a lot more sense than my Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah, and there's value there. Like, there, because I see people, you know, on the internet say
on YouTube.
They're on YouTube. They're in the comments on YouTube.
Leury.
Saying like, Taysom Hill shouldn't be in the NFL. It's like, no.
He's 100% an NFL player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got value. He's got value
He's a weapon. He's an absolute weapon, but it's not as the starting quarterback.
Correct.
No,
correct.
He's Ray Lucas with special teams ability, you know?
He's
Jim Crash Jensen. What's that, Herbie?
Shane.
It was Shane. What are you saying?
About killing. I didn't hear him either. I didn't hear him.
Now he doesn't want to talk because they're just laughing at you because you called him Herbie.
Stop being so bashful, Herbie. Get on the mic.
Yeah, and stuff.
Oh, wow. All right. I like it.
That's pretty good limited Herb.
It's because they said Ray Lucas, not Ray Lewis, I think was the issue there. And because Herb's not here and I thought it was Herb. And I blurted out, hey, Herb, how you doing?
Not on Saturday. Saturday, me and you's day.
No. See, you had it. You had it. And then you went. Just you had it. Just walk off. Learn to take
sorry,
a
sorry,
win.
Sorry.
Learn to take.
I can't
Jesus,
find the
Shane.
Off button on the microphone. I can't find the off button. It's been
dump
a problem
him.
On this
dump
show.
Dump him. Dump him.
I swear, man. You win a lot, all right? Look, I'm a fan. You win a lot. But sometimes you don't know when you've hit the walk-off.
Yeah, I know, Lawrence. Believe me, Friday's therapy day. Like, you're just reinforcing everything my therapist says.
Shane's
say,
looking
hey,
inward.
This
Shane's
is me and you, baby. Today. Saturday, me and you's day. Sunday.
That's on me.
That's hilarious.
That's so good.
It's right on the money, though. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the way that most of us actually approach our lives. Sunday, especially during football season, that's on me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Saturday's not a work day. There was something that came across my, you know, my opportunities in the last year or so. It was like, hey, you want to do this thing on Saturdays? I was like, no. I don't.
Hey, guess no. what? Speaking of Saturdays, telling you, when's the last time that a Saturday night Bulls game was appointment TV? I guess last week with the Heat was pretty good, but here's the Nets. I'm going to make sure that I'm either watching or DVRing a Saturday night Bulls game. Let's go, number 2 seed in the East.
What a tremendous commitment. You'll either watch or record.
Well, the Bulls have been a weekend skip for a long time.
Sure. There's no question. And the Nets are there, and I don't know if I will be watching live or not either, but I absolutely consumed it, will consume it, and I love this team, man. That game last night was just pure entertainment. It was not like always the highest level basketball, but for a lot of it, it was, and it was just really, really damn entertaining. And I don't know. I don't know how far they can go, but pretty damn far.
I really like the emotional investment it's brought back out in me. Like, I obviously, like, you're excited because the Bulls are going to be decent. You're looking at the roster that they're putting together. But I mean, from a game-to-game basis, like, I'm invested now. Like, I'm sitting there screaming at the TV for good reasons now instead of bad reasons. And it's fun. And I forgot the type of energy that even regular season basketball games could have. And that one had it. Like, that one had the playoff feel to it. And there was heat. There was heat that was coming off of that game. And it was great. It was great to sit there and enjoy, like, low stakes. Like, nothing's in the balance, but it felt like there was.
Yeah, I texted Adam Amin after the game and just told him, like, that I thought that him and Stacey, it's a good broadcast always, but I thought that they, like, really rose to the level of the excitement of the game. And it was awesome. And, you know, he appreciated it, but said that he had missed that place. Like, Matt, the game being in Madison Square Garden, I thought it was awesome on the broadcast where he noted that, like, during a timeout, Mike Breen tapped him on the shoulder and was like, "Can you believe we get to do this for our jobs?" Like, it's a joyful watch, and it's been a while, man.
That place has he was talking about that early in the game. He and Stacey talking about just good to be back in there. Watching hoops in there, something about the sight lines just feels really perfect. And the acoustics, I think they mentioned the acoustics last night.
Just they did.
The sound of the dribbles and the shouting and the bodies bashing. It's like it just travels in a different way, man. It's got a feel for it. And it's on top of a train station.
It was a place that I always thought was overrated, right? Until I actually got to be there. Like,
right?
I've called games there. And when you walk in, you feel it. And then when even for an early tip, DePaul playing in a Big East curtain jerker game where there might be 4,000 people in the building, there's an energy. And when you walk around that place, it lives up to all of the expectations that people have.
I loved, man, those Big East tournaments. I assume you would stay, Lawrence, when DePaul would get bounced and, like, stay for the...
No. So Zach and I had a rule. I feel bad because now I put Zach's business out here, too. We would always talk about how much did we pack. Like, did we pack two suits? Did we pack three suits? Or did we only pack the one suit?
DePaul was a one suit pack for a couple of years.
And
huh?
then there was the one year where Jerry Wainwright beats Mick Cronin.
Uh-oh.
And we were like, "Oh, well, I guess we're going shopping today because we need to have another suit ready."
Just switch suits
for tomorrow.
Just trade suits.
We are around the same size, so yeah, I guess we could have made that happen. But Jerry Wainwright's like throwing up in a garbage can because he had the flu, and we're like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna be here tomorrow." That's nice.
But it was so great, man. Like I was there for the six overtime game.
Oh, that game was insane.
I did post game my senior year from Madison Square Garden after that game until 2:30 in the morning. Mm. Like being at the Garden and like it just in the for like the media sessions, and it's like, oh. We got four press conferences coming up. Okay, who are the coaches? Okay, that's Bob Huggins, Jim Calhoun, Jim Boeheim, Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
Back to back to back to back.
That'll work.
Yeah, no big deal. And it's such a pro sport town, but that was like the one college event that kind of took over the city and felt big for a four-day stretch, the Big East tournament. Mm-hmm. So I love those games.
And I mean, it's just cool. Like when you go out of the building and you got to go up to go out of the building and you see all the people like getting off the subway. Like it's got an ecosystem, man, and it's. I didn't want to love it, but I loved it.
You couldn't help it. I'll age myself. First time I was there, my dad took me for a college basketball doubleheader. I saw Kelly Tripucka play for Notre Dame.
Nice.
At the time. So that's like 79 or 80, something like that. He was a good shooter. Tripucka was good that day.
Let me tell you, he was one of my favorite players on Game Boy. I forget the name of the game, but maybe it was NBA All-Stars. And Kelly Tripucka on that game used to go ham, and
it was a 20 points a game guy.
That's
for
right.
Multiple years in the NBA.
You get him out
day.
There, he would get you a bucket.
That's right.
It's the gray on your hair that ages you, Speaks. Not Kelly
Tripucka. Okay, not my appreciation understanding of Kelly Tripucka.
Lawrence, we got a fun show today. Alyssa Bergamini is going to be on the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Olin Krutz as well. Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel. A potential upcoming disaster in my life that I will share. Bears and Cardinals, what to watch for with all the good players for the Bears not playing.
Will Tanny have a preview of Tevin Jenkins? Because he is active for this game.
This needs to be our over-under for the weekend, Danny. I don't know if you got one on Bet Rivers yet, but snaps for Tevin Jenkins. You know, he's going to be on field goal team, maybe an Alex Bars type role for Tevin Jenkins. 3.5 is the number.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you guys hear? He just decided to become mean again over the weekend here. So I'm looking forward to Sunday.
He's a wrestling heel?
Yeah, not currently mean right now, but he's ramping it up.
He's going to hit that button.
Step between the white lines. He will become mean. So that's the show, Lawrence.
All right, boys. Have yourselves a time. I'll see you on Monday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.